Today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Manscaped. Manscaped has just taken off in not only the USA, but Canada, the UK, across Europe, Australia, South Africa, and Singapore. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, the best grooming products on the planet. Manscaped.com, you're going to get 20% off for with free shipping with the code FOOTBALLERS. That's 20% off plus free shipping with code FOOTBALLERS, Manscaped.com.
Hey, this is Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys.
That's what friends are for. Who sings that song?
That's what friends are for.
Does anybody know?
No. Nobody knows the answer to that age-old question.
I mean, I sing it all the time, but I have no idea.
Is that how you sing it?
Yeah. That's what friends are for. Dionne Warwick. Sorry, misread.
Diana Warwick.
Dionne Warwick, yes. Of course.
That was pretty quick. Appreciate you, Al.
That's what I'm here for.
Wednesday, August 11th. No, I don't have a normal voice. I apologize.
This guy over here.
I don't know what's going on.
You just get on our back, man. We'll Greg Jennings this thing.
Is this a result of 5 days a week?
Maybe.
Did I come into training camp out of shape?
I don't know what you're doing with your extracurricular activities.
Yelling at children.
Which I call
an extracurricular activity.
Yes.
Yeah, it's either yelling at Suns games or yelling at children, and the children are all we have left.
Buy or sell on today's show. Some news to talk about.
Some big news, potentially.
Potentially, yeah. Top 10 running back rankings today. So the ranking shows they're key. They're important. And I'm going to do my best with these top 10 running backs to ask you guys some eye-opening questions. Because a lot of these players, at this point in the offseason, there's been concessions made that they just belong where they are, right? You have to take Christian McCaffrey over Dalvin Cook. And
sure.
You know, we'll go through the top 10 today. And to be honest, there's not a lot of disparity in our rankings in terms of the three of us disagreeing on a top 10 player. I mean, they're not identical, but...
Even if the disparity in rankings don't exist between the three of us, I think that there's a lot of shading of the context of what we believe about a player and the probability of reaching their ceiling versus busting. So it's interesting conversation. And obviously, for fantasy football, running backs are, you know, that's the centerpiece of your team. You look at the championship winners and in most of your home leagues, they've got the duo of power running backs.
Honestly, the biggest disparity we have managed to agree on a lot of our, you know, like the top five. The biggest disparity is us against ADP and us against consensus. And I mean, even just the shift of three spots, you know, like your fifth running back in the first round versus the eighth running back, that's a very big disparity when you're talking about a first round pick.
Are you saying it's us against the world, Mike?
Because
I can get behind that.
I like it.
Okay. It is.
All right.
Glad you're with it.
You helped with the show intro. Now it's us against the world. Oof. The camaraderie is strong here.
The wind beneath your wings.
I'll bet.
If somebody...
we're going to get all the ballad references in today.
Oh, is that a Bette Midler?
That was a shout out to my girl, Bette Midler.
Shout out.
That's right.
Miss Midler.
If you're just coming back to the show, we're 5 days a week. Talk about the UDK Plus, because this is new this year.
Absolutely. So the Ultimate Draft Kit is available right now. It is being updated all off season long. All the hits from last year are available. Our sleepers, our breakouts, our busts, our full projections, all of that stuff is there. Everything you've come to love from the UDK Plus, this year, though, the UDK Plus is available, and that includes, that's where you'll find the DFS pass if you were, you know, winning that quiche last year. That thing still exists. And new to the UDK Plus for this year, the Draft Analyzer. Everyone loves after the draft, how did I do?
Validation.
Validate me, yes. And that's how you do it with the Draft Analyzer. You go, you can import your team right from Sleeper or ESPN, or you, of course, you can manually put it in as well. Maybe you're doing some mock drafts and you want to know what we think, which one of the three of us likes that team the best, give you an action plan, your who's your riskiest player. I mean, all that stuff. It's a really, really, not only a useful tool, but it's fun. It's a fun thing to you or use, not you.
I received a tweet yesterday. Somebody has moved from having you as their favorite footballer.
Oh, I did see this.
To me, because I liked his team more in the Draft Analyzer.
Well, so, guess what? He moved from my 105th favorite fan down to 211.
What I did is I changed some of the...
I keep a full power rankings of all
of your of the fans?
Our, my favorite listeners.
Sounds like he's still pretty high.
Well, yeah, he is. Because I was his... Because I was his favorite for a long time.
I changed the algorithm, and here's how it works now. If you get an A grade in the Draft Analyzer, I like your team the most. If it's B or below, it's one of the other guys. That's how it works. So
I see. Of course.
It's a very complex algorithm. All right, let's do some buy sell.
Buy or Sell, presented by Pristine Auction.
This week's Buy or Sell, Falcons quarterback Matthew Ryan. Will he be in the top five in pass attempts for the fourth year in a row? Last year he was first. The previous 2 years he was third and third, respectively. We know that Matt Ryan is a volume machine. He takes down yardage like Jason takes down snacks.
Oh, he's good at yardage.
But we have a change of system. We have a change of offensive philosophy. Arthur Smith from the Tennessee Titans. He has come down. He was their OC, and now he's in charge of the Atlanta Falcons. And we know what the MO was for the Tennessee Titans. It was play action pass, a low volume of passing attempts, and run with Derrick Henry, the Yeti, out there taking souls away. But there is no soul stealer at the running back position for the Atlanta Falcons. So what does Arthur adapt and keep Matt Ryan at the top, or what, how are we feeling about that, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Ryan, look, the running game is not going to be great.
Mike
right?
Davis.
Mike Davis is actually a decent pass catcher, but he's no spring chicken. He's not going to be lighting the field on fire. And even though Matt Ryan usually struggles a little bit for fantasy, every new coordinator he gets the first year, he never is short on yardage. When I look at this now, there is more competition, right? Like Dak Prescott's going to be up there.
Yes.
He was out last season. That being said, I have Dak Prescott as my number five, and I've got Matt Ryan this season as my number four total in yardage. I don't think their defense is great. I don't think they can run the ball. And Matt Ryan will, you know, look, inside the 20s, maybe he struggles, but between the 20s, he just racks up yards. And I think he continues this season. So, yeah.
You're a buy?
I am a buy.
I'm a sell.
No,
I don't think he's inside the top five this year.
Big change of philosophy then.
Arthur Smith, 31st and 30th in pass attempts in Tennessee. And top five's a high bar. So, I mean, I think it's easy for some other passers to climb into those ranks. And I think even Matt Ryan will be top eight, you know, somewhere in that range, top 10. But I don't want to underestimate losing Julio either.
Sure.
Like he is the yardage volume wide receiver of our generation, and they don't have him anymore. So if he does it again, you're going to be happy with Kyle Pitts. If he does it again, you're going to have stolen Russell Gage in the late rounds, but I don't think he will.
I have him just inside the top five when I'm looking at my overall projections, and usually that's when I will sell if a guy is right on the fringe, but Matt Ryan is just I get that the system is that Arthur wants to run is different, but I am going to give credit to Arthur Smith of formulating an incredible offense around the talent that he had.
Wait, does he – are you saying he doesn't have Derrick Henry anymore?
Yeah, we've been over this. It's Mike Davis now.
Oh, that's the difference.
If you wanted to – like, I think it's worth saying, if he wanted to just replicate what he had in Tennessee, they probably would have invested one of those high draft picks,
yes, 100%,
on a running back. So they chose not to do that.
Yes. You would have tried – well, I mean, you can't take Najee at 3 overall, but maybe you try and trade down or – you try and get Javonte in the second round. But so I agree with that. I think they're still going to throw, so I'm going to go with Matt Ryan ending up there in the top 5 again.
Is that where Deontay Foreman signed?
Yes. I was trying to think. They just added somebody, and when he signed, I remember going, look, if he had it, Deontay Foreman does profile as a very similar runner to – or stylistically, I should say, as Derrick Henry.
And not only that, but
just
he was
a giant bruising man.
He was there last year with Derrick Henry and
that
and
is a
Arthur
good point.
Smith.
Probably why they brought him in.
Yeah.
That was Buy or Sell, brought to you by our friends at Pristine Auction. Use the code BALLERS at pristineauction.com. If you want some sports memorabilia, they'll give you $10, just like a credit. They'll just give you $10.
Yeah.
So that's
here you go.
That's nice.
Did you use the code BALLERS? Great. Here's $10.
Yeah. A credit is what I got back on the canceled airfare from my recent trip.
Of course.
I didn't get money back. I got a credit so I can fly on a bad airline again.
Yeah, that's something. Do they trap you?
We'll bring you back. Yeah. All right, news time.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by Sleeper.
The off season is a dangerous place. Like, if you're just running through the field of news, there are landmines everywhere.
Yes.
Like, if you are emotionally sensitive, your reactions to these day-to-day reports are going to – you're going to be all over the map emotionally.
It's like the big final scene in the war movie 1917. You know,
yes.
Where the guy is just sprinting
left
he's,
to right across the field.
He's running into other soldiers. There's explosions going off everywhere, knocking him over.
Good luck.
But just like him in fantasy football, you got to keep getting up. You got to keep running through.
Yeah, some of them made it through that field. Aaron Jones has been working on the side for the last 2 days. Matt LaFleur does not think it's a long-term issue beyond a week or two. Any concerns?
Yeah, I mean, I hate this time of year when we don't have to get truthful information. He's obviously dealt with soft tissue issues in the past, but it's been a while. As of right now, I'm not concerned. I'm not moving him in my rankings, but he's one of the few that you have to keep monitoring because he's so high in fantasy drafts.
And we'll talk about him today on the running back rankings. John Harbaugh said Rashad Bateman out weeks, not months.
That's great news. If you saw the video of Rashad Bateman trying to leave the field, where he just slowly went down to a stopped walking, went down to a knee, eventually
grabbed every muscle group.
Yeah, it looked rough. So this is
every
great news.
Muscle group.
Yes, he did.
I don't know that I would describe it as great news in the sense that he's missing camp, missing preseason, might not be ready for the start of the season. He's just not missing his whole rookie year.
That's why it's great news.
Sure. It's
cup
good.
Half full, Jason.
Days, not weeks, would have been better than weeks, not days.
Yeah.
Or weeks,
maybe
not
that
months.
Would have been great.
Hours, not days, would have been better.
And while we've been bringing
I can play this game too.
While we've been bringing up, you know, the Lizard King, Sammy Watkins, being kind of the last man standing, the truth is Mark Andrews is the actual...
Yes.
Last man standing, first target in that offense. So he gives me – I have a little bit more confidence in redraft leagues in that fifth round area.
Here's a little bonus smoke fire challenge here. Chris Mortensen reporting this morning, Carson Wentz is trending to start week one after undergoing foot surgery at the beginning of August. Do you believe this?
Well, given that the timeline was anywhere from now till the end of time,
right,
was what they laid out for their expectations
this
on the injury.
This fits within that timeline?
5 to 12 weeks. Yeah, look, Chris Mortensen is a very respected reporter, so I'm going to take him at his word that this is really what he is hearing. Maybe Carson Wentz is not ready to go week one, but this is nice that it sounds like Carson Wentz will avoid going on the pup list, avoid missing an automatic 6 weeks. They're going to hold on to him, and maybe after, you know, by week three we have Carson Wentz. It brings me at least a little bit of hope for all of my off-season drafting of Michael Pittman.
I just don't know how this would be possible. Like, how would you know this quick after the surgery that he's trending to be back on the shorter timeline? Like, what?
Report was Quentin Nelson, too.
Right, right. It's like, so both, like, guys are looking great, but it's like a week after the surgery.
Yeah, that's true.
They haven't tested anything. This is smoke to me. It's hopeful smoke. Like, oh, look how beautiful that smoke is. It's great looking. I'm sure they're sending messages, but I don't put stock in this.
Was a good smoke signal joke.
It was a smoke signal joke.
If I were a surgeon, this is what I would do. I would say, look, normal surgeons, when they give this type of a repair,
the recovery
is 5 to 12 weeks, and then when the patient comes back in 2 weeks, it's like, I am the greatest surgeon alive. I have fantastic news for you. The ultimate under-promise.
Tell your friends.
I don't think this smoke is as positive right now. Darren Waller, he's missed multiple days of practice. The quote from John Gruden, because there's no formal update.
Oh.
The quote is, I think he's going to be okay. We're being very careful with him. He's working out very hard with the trainers.
Johnny. I don't like that. Think he's going to be okay?
When you talk about the different personality of coaches around the league and whether they're going to try to play the games and try to use everything to their advantage, they don't have to be honest. You know, some of these coaches you watch and they're very forthright. It's basically the same as in season. They'll tell you exactly what the injury is, what the timeline is. That scares me. Like, I would not trust him. Like, if he knew that Waller is going to be out the beginning of the season, he'd probably say, well, I think he's going to be okay. We're just being careful with him, you know? So I will say this. If I was drafting today, I would probably not take Waller in the third round.
Really?
I'm just there's great players in the third, like
that's,
great,
that's
phenomenal
probably
players in the third.
The best advice.
Sure, but I get it. There's great players in the third, but there are not – a bunch of elite tight ends, and sure, maybe you're saying
if I'm
pass
deciding
and go to
between
Mark
Calvin Ridley, you know, and Darren Waller right there in the third,
why not let this split the difference?
Yeah, exactly.
So how many games would it take for, let's say, Waller is going to miss two games?
Yeah, and that's enough.
That would be enough, not only because of total games missed, but just the fact that if you are injured, there is always a chance for re-aggravation. You know, if it turns out this was some kind of bigger hamstring pull or something, and he's back in week two, that doesn't mean he's, at zero risk like someone who's healthy right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to read too much into the quote, but if I wanted to read too much into the quote, it would be, we think he's going to be okay. We're trying the trainer route right now. Hopefully we don't have to do something else. TJ Hawkinson, Lions tight end, banged up during Tuesday's practice, exited early, undisclosed injury. We'll keep you posted. Zach Moss, talked about him yesterday, suffered a hamstring injury.
Oh, man. Whoops. That's unfortunate.
You had your time to shine. It was yesterday.
Sean McDermott helping us all out, saying the Bills are going to go one day at a time with the injury, which is really the only option he has.
That's better than 1 week at a time.
Okay.
Am I right?
Okay.
Yeah, all right. So this is great news.
So hamstring injury for Zach Moss.
Oh.
I believe that's it. Brooksy, do you got anything else?
That's it for now.
No other injuries during the news segment took place?
Not that I know of.
All right. Today's news and notes was brought to you, as always, by Sleeper. Sleeper is the largest dynasty platform out there. Customizable. Do exactly what you want to do with your league. That's why we love Dynasty, is you can... I don't know. You can do what you want, and you're
that's right.
And you're playing all year long.
My
team is awesome.
Like your team is ridiculously awesome.
I was talking to Jason late last night. I'm sorry. We're going to bring this up.
I hate you. And people wonder, like, oh, are you guys friends? No, I hate Andy. Now
we were friends.
Oh, we were great friends.
Until last
very
night.
Thankful for him in my life, and then
things.
Sometimes you regret trades, and
he really regrets our dynasty trade
with the terrible one that I implied that he is an awful dynasty manager after the trade happened.
That's the one. And late last night, I'm trying to talk about the company, some things that we got going on around here. I'm trying to really keep it on brand, you know, keep it on point, keep the company going the right direction.
Yeah.
And Jason was clearly just tilting from the trade because he watched Hard Knocks.
Oh, man, Zeke looks good.
He does. He looks thin. He looks thin.
He looks committed.
Yeah, and I didn't like...
Oh, man.
Who he's on my team.
I didn't like when he was on the screen. I didn't like watching him because I was like, oh, man, so what have I done?
So I came back to my Slack and he said, can you please reverse the trade? Can we trade back?
Yeah,
he
just
said, give me Zeke back.
Trade backsies.
And I let him know that... While I'm not willing to do that, AJ Green is available.
Oh, thank you.
In our dynasty.
Thank you. Thank
in our dynasty league.
I can...
He's got several good games left.
That's right.
I just need to remember
the
my...
best kind of dynasty
days, not weeks.
Right, yeah. All right, before we get into our running back rankings, want to thank our sponsors. And look, investing can be complicated, but whether you are a beginner or whether you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it super easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. They can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. This is the easy route.
It's a great platform.
I mean, there's no manual trades, no picking your stocks or watching the market every day. You want to sleep well and just invest your money in a really smart system. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences that you control. They also have a tax loss harvesting, which can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/footballers. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get the first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/footballers. That's wealthfront.com/footballers to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/footballers and get started today.
And before we jump into running back rankings, I have a question for Jason. Do you ever feel like you want to punch something?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Pretty much last night watching Zeke. I was like, what if I die? I need to punch something.
Fight Camp brings the boxing and kickboxing gym right into your home. You can take out your bad trades right there while getting fit.
Imagine this.
Full body workout, Jason, after each and every one of your disappointing endeavors into dynasty trading. Look, you'll actually look forward to these kind of workouts. I've always said it before, like sports and things that are not just, you know, following a video or doing something boring or running in place. This is a freestanding punching bag, and it can take your hardest hits, and then you actually enjoy the workout.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made for beginners to experience boxers. So you don't have to go into it thinking, oh, I need to have been at a boxing gym for a year before I can do this workout. No, right in your home, new content delivered weekly, and then it goes from easy to advanced so that you can just progress, enjoy yourself, and get in shape. You can pay for your Fight Camp over 24 months for less than the cost of like subscribing to a gym and get it right away. Plus, Fight Camp offers free shipping with a 30-day money-back guarantee. But join fightcamp.com/footballers. To get free shipping on Fight Camp, go to joinfightcamp.com/footballers, joinfightcamp.com/footballers.
Running backs.
Top 10 running back rankings today.
Top 10.
The top men. Half PPR rankings. These are our consensus ranks. If you want more detail beyond the podcast, all of the running back rankings, all of our projections, like the stat projections for each player, and our tiers, ultimatedraftkit.com.
Yeah, and there's a write-up on every single player, an outlook, short-term, long-term. Yeah, it's where all of our thoughts and details go.
All right. Jason said it at the top. The running back position is the most valuable pick in fantasy football. There are seasons from some of the top men that feel like you have two players. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, he's our number one back. He is two players if he plays the way he most recently played. Alvin Kamara is in that category too, 80-plus receptions for four straight years. You're getting a running back, and you're getting a wide receiver. So that being said, if you whiff, that hurts the most because you're investing the highest draft capital on these players at the top. And frankly, at least three of the top 10 will get injured or not retain their value. So you've got at minimum, over the last decade, three of the top 10 guys we talk about today aren't going to pan out either by, you know, chance, I would say, with the injuries or just not being the value we thought they were. So Christian McCaffrey comes in at number one. We all have him at number one. He's a good football player.
He is a tremendous football player you can try. Maybe you want to ask the questions of, is Christian McCaffrey in the new system with Sam Darnold? Will it really be more of the same of what you saw 2 years ago from Christian McCaffrey? We only saw him in three games, but in those three games, absolutely dominant, averaging, you know, about 25 opportunities per game. That's an unbelievable amount of usage for a running back, and he came through in a big way, scoring a rushing touchdown in each of those three games, two in his first two. I'd like to find a contrarian way to look at Christian McCaffrey, but I don't think I can really have an honest conversation with myself of say, like, is there a chance that Christian McCaffrey's work goes away? And I don't think that exists.
No, this regime is paying him a ton of money. We saw him used last year. The contrarian argument is one of two things, right? It's either, well, he spent all year last year injured, multiple injuries. Why are we drafting this guy this high? Everybody could get injured. He has shown us that he could stay healthy as well. He's had full, complete, dominant seasons.
Yeah, before last year, extremely durable for a huge workload.
Yeah, and the injuries he had last year and the timeline is like he should actually be pretty fresh and super healthy.
The camp reports, just to echo what you're saying, are that all the burst is back. He's looked exceptional in camp, and they've reported he is the security blanket on any play that breaks down for Sam Darnold, because that's what smart quarterbacks do. Cam Newton was not a check down quarterback. Then Christian McCaffrey arrived.
It was like, oh, this guy will make me look real good. If you look at over the last 5 years, the top targeted running backs, the number one top targeted running back was Christian McCaffrey in 2019. The number two was Christian McCaffrey in 2018. Then you had James White, Saquon Barkley, David Johnson, and the number six was Christian McCaffrey. He is targeted like a wide receiver, and then he also gets the ball. He's two players in one, and he's the guy. The one worry is that, you know, instead of being up at 140 targets, he's going to be 100 targets. Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to pick apart there. Mike Davis, who was a valuable complement backup, he's gone. And Curtis Samuel was taking carries out of the backfield. He's gone.
Absolutely. The depth chart is not – there's no one lurking in the shadows to try and take – like Reggie Bonifon, okay, fine player, super Bonifon. Then they drafted Chuba Hubbard later in the draft. You're not worried about his position at being the number one. And the success of Mike Davis on a team last – they weren't a great team last year, but the success of a journeyman running back – in this offense speaks even higher to me of Christian McCaffrey's potential.
Yeah, I mean, even the year before his running back one dominant season, he was the RB3. So, yep. I mean, this is...
All right, next.
Yeah, let's move on. Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is our consensus number two. Last year, he played 14 games, 312 carries, 1,557 yards, 16 touchdowns. 54 targets for another 44 receptions, 361 and one. Was the running back three, but missed two games, had a groin injury, missed week six, and then week 17 didn't play. Workhorse back.
Yep.
Automatic role in the offense. Like, you know what to expect. Jason, you had fears about a change at offensive coordinator. Then they just They brought from, in his son.
Cubs to Cubs.
Yeah. I mean, whatever.
When you go Cubs to Cubs, you don't worry about it.
No. I'm not worried about the scheme change. They're keeping the running scheme the same. We know the talent of Dalvin Cook. We saw it last year. I've talked about how improved I believe the Minnesota Vikings defense is going to be, putting them in more, run-heavy scripts. And then if it's not run heavy or if they're down, oh no, he can catch the ball. He had over 50 receptions. The knock on Dalvin Cook is and always has been the injury history. His is far more prevalent and common, and some of his, like the shoulder issue right. that he had in the past, has a historical, nature of coming back up at some point in their career. So that's the worry with Dalvin Cook. But again, the gap that I see between him and our number three in Alvin Kamara is massive. There's only two guys that are putting up points better than everyone on the ground, and then they also do a ton through the air. I cannot advise anyone to take someone else with one of the first two picks.
Dalvin Cook deserves durability credit, in my opinion. Going 14 games back-to-back years when you have a 250 and then 312 workload compared to the kind of the sentiment around him. And you're right. I mean, like...
He's got that
injury aura.
He's got LeSean McCoy action going on the reg where...
He comes off and you think he's hurt and then he's like...
When Dalvin Cook is your fantasy running back, you're watching. It's great. You watch him with joy, admiration, all these fantasy points. But at least once per game, he goes down to a season-ending injury.
And if you were being pitched Dalvin Cook in like a meeting, the top five performances, the week-winning ones, would be part of it, right? Like where he goes out there and the ceiling is always so high. You know, he has 13 top five performances over the last 2 years. Only Derrick Henry's beaten that.
That's
so.
And his floor is also so high.
Right.
He has one game last year where he wasn't a top 24 back.
I will say this, like the odds of Dalvin Cook beating Christian McCaffrey are high as well. Like,
yeah, they exist.
They exist. And they have the 26th ranked offensive line, and he did that last year. So we can move on. Next up is, Jason just mentioned it, it's Alvin Kamara, running back for the New Orleans Saints. I do consider him somebody that I think belongs in that top three. Like, I put them together.
Okay. I don't – even with – I think the concerns here for Super Kamario, it's around the offense. You have no – Michael Thomas is going to miss some time. So, okay, now we're already lacking an elite offensive weapon at that wide receiver position. Drew Brees, Hall of Fame quarterback, is gone. So now the offenses will take a step back. If it's Taysom Hill, if it's Jameis Winston, and that still remains to be seen. I think that's the hesitation on Alvin Kamara. And Andy, for you, those hesitations are just fueling your fire for
my fire is not fueled by problems. No.
Well, I mean, like your stance of being so pro Kamara.
I mean, he's the offense. He is the offense. The identity of the offense is no longer Drew Brees. The identity of the offense, at least to start the year, is not Michael Thomas.
Right.
The full identity of the offense is Alvin Kamara.
Adam Troutman.
Adam Troutman. But then the backup, no. Kamara is just, he's automatic. Nobody's been more consistent in terms of just... It doesn't matter what happens around him. He was the number one running back last year. He played 15 games.
Well, he did Christmas Day himself into.
He can do a Christmas Day. That's the point. And no, you're not going.
Six. I forgot. It was six.
It was six touchdowns.
Six rushing touchdowns. Oh.
That's a lot of touchdowns.
And it should have been seven.
So, but without that game, he still had double digits on the ground. So, no, you're not going to get 312 carries from Alvin Kamara. The way that you get that production comes differently in the passing game and with touchdowns in the receiving game and on the ground. I've taken a firmer, will not doubt this man stance this offseason. And so he is, firmly my three. Looks like he's your guys' three as well, but you have a tier break, and I'm that tier wall is starting to disintegrate for me.
Yeah, so let me explain why there's a tier wall, and this is
also the number four offensive line, not the 26th ranked offensive line.
Yeah, the offensive line is good. Alvin Kamara himself is phenomenal. Obviously, the number one running back last year, so we know that's in the range of outcomes, but the offense is a concern, and if you look at what happened, obviously they didn't build the offense around Taysom last year for the four starts. You know, they didn't have the off season. They didn't have the setup. That was an injury causation that made them change on the fly, and that's not as easy. You saw the progression of getting Alvin Kamara more involved in the passing game after Taysom had played a few games. It's like, hey, pass the ball to Kamara, but that's an issue, right? Like in the games without Taysom Hill, he averaged 8.9 targets a game. In the games with Taysom Hill, he averaged 4.
I don't care.
Sure. But goal line rushing touchdowns, if it's Taysom, can also be siphoned. If you lose a chunk of your passing work and you lose a chunk of your rushing touchdowns and the offense is worse, there's reasons that I could see it not going as well. Whereas with Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook, it's injury. Well, Alvin Kamara could get injured. Everybody could get injured. So there are just more variables here where I would not be comfortable taking Alvin Kamara over the other two.
But you're good at 103?
Yeah, he is my three. He is. Okay. If I'm at the three spot, that's my draft pick.
Derrick Henry is 4. Derrick Henry is large.
Yes.
Derrick Henry had, I think, more than double the amount of carries than Alvin Kamara had.
Yes.
It's got to be close. Yes. 378 for 2,027 yards and 17 touchdowns.
My goodness.
He was the running back, too. There were doubts about whether he could do this last offseason. All of the warts of the runner only, not pass catcher.
Mm-hmm.
It really hasn't mattered with Derrick Henry. He's also, like Kamara, the identity of the offense more than anybody else in football. I mean, the Tennessee Titans offense, you're either handing it to Derrick Henry or you're pretending to hand the ball to Derrick Henry.
Right.
So I guess the question is, what happens in 2021? You can't do this forever.
No.
So at some point in time, it will stop.
No, and what you can't do forever is have seasons of over 300 carries. Now, where Derrick Henry was eased into the NFL because when he was, you know, back when he was drafted, DeMarco Murray was there, and DeMarco Murray ended up being the lead back for quite some time before it became truly Derrick Henry's backfield. 2019, 303 attempts. Last year, 378 attempts. Derrick Henry, to me, we're talking about Andy with Kamara. It feels foolish to bet against Derrick Henry at this point, and we are clearly not. So we have him as our fourth-ranked running back, but though that should be at least in the back of your mind is we've seen running backs get that type of a workload historically, and they're the greatest running back in the league, straight into burnt toast. When it falls off with this type of a player, it's gone immediately. When you're like Sean Alexander, Larry Johnson, Priest Holmes, I think Derrick Henry still has some time, but long term, Derrick Henry, if he keeps getting this type of a workload, his body will break down eventually.
Yeah, if you're drafting not based on human beings and you're just drafting based on math, based right. on history, yeah. based on probabilities, Derrick Henry should have a bad season by comparison to what he did last year and by comparison to being the fourth running back overall, because historically speaking, when you have over 2,000 yards on the ground or 370 carries the next year, you are going to lose 400 or 500 yards. You're going to lose so many fantasy points. That happens literally. I think the only exception to that was a first ballot Hall of Famer from the 60s. Like, it doesn't happen. But we've said this before. Like, I don't draft early round running backs that don't catch the ball. except Derrick Henry. He is an outlier. He is a different human being, and I am happy to draft Derrick Henry. I'm not going to doubt. It's kind of like you're saying, Andy, and you just don't doubt Alvin Kamara because he's super talented, and I'm not doubting Derrick Henry. We haven't seen anything saying that the wheels are going to fall off yet. There will be game script problems in certain games. He is not a pass catcher. If they get down, they might not be able to run the ball the same way, and there is an offensive coordinator change. So there's some variables, and I'm not in love with them, but he's an outlier that I you know, bet against Derrick Henry at your own risk.
Yeah, I mean, and just to throw the math out there, I mean, he had more than double the carries of Alvin Kamara and finished behind him in fantasy. So you ran for 2,000 yards. You had more touchdowns than Alvin Kamara on the ground. You had more than double the total carries. You finished behind him in fantasy. So when you talk about drafting pass catchers in this spot, if you want to bet against another 2,000-yard season, like, I mean, Chris Johnson had the 2,000-yard season. You know, that obviously doesn't last forever. It feels disrespectful to Henry to doubt him at all. But that's the difference maker between any of these picks is you're basically saying, what is probability tell me about this situation? He's much better against, like, he destroys bad run defenses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at predicting those week winning weeks where he's been better than everybody, including Dalvin Cook, over the last 2 years at week winning weeks, they're going to come against those bottom 16 defenses. And he does have a new offensive coordinator. So Ezekiel Elliott.
So here is our first really big disparity. All of us are pretty aligned on we're in on Zeke, but he is going at the back of the first as the running back 8, and he is our consensus running back 5, which to me that's a big gap.
Yeah, I have him at 6. You guys have him at 5. He was not here as recently as a couple weeks ago for me. He was much more 7, 8, 9. But Jonathan Taylor is behind him now in my rankings. Joe Mixon is behind him now in my rankings. So there was some hesitancy early on in the offseason with Zeke. Maybe I'm a sucker for, you know, seeing the physical specimen looking like he's in the best shape of his life. It's just a matter of what is this offense going to be? And if Dak's healthy, I think you've got another elite year from Zeke.
It's kind of a combination, right? Like, you know,
and the targets.
He's more involved in the passing game. Obviously, if you watched Hard Knocks, he's Dak Prescott's best friend. They were drafted together.
It was such. I wasn't aware of this. Like, I hadn't. It's just one of those things that you're like, oh, of course, I didn't put this together. But drafted the same year, their friendship is delightful.
Yeah, no, it is wonderful. And obviously, he's, you know, the one of the faces of the franchise. So he's going to get the workload. The question is just, was the Zeke we saw last year,
with all the fumbles,
the beginning of the end, not just the fumbles, but the lack of breakaway runs. The, you know, look, on a per rushing attempt, Tony Pollard looked like the better running back, and so you start to wonder, is this the beginning of the end? Todd Gurley looked great; he was the best running back in the world. Then you started showed signs slowing down, and then it's over. And so you don't want to be caught holding the bag with Zeke, but you're not going to be. Because it's not over for him. Last year, if you remember, you know, he was one of the first players that got COVID, was kind of out of camp for a little while, looked out of shape. Then they lost their quarterback. Then they lost 3 of the best offensive linemen in the league. It wasn't that great. But you know, when you look at a player who has looked out of shape physically and then played like he's out of shape, and then you look and you go, oh, man. He got his act together. He is coming in fit. He's coming in on fire. The offensive line is back. I think Zeke, you know, I would have a hard time. Like, I have Derrick Henry at 4. But if I'm at 4 in a draft, I'm probably taking Zeke ahead of Derrick Henry because of the pass catching work.
I was thinking about that the whole time we were talking about Derrick Henry, knowing that Zeke is coming up. The targets are going to be there. And the offensive line, they had a bunch of offensive line injuries last year. So not only was it the bad quarterback play, it was the offensive line play that Zeke is not used to running behind. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to still be in on Zeke.
The first 5 games of last year, 108 target pace, 81 reception pace. That's Alvin Kamara's reception totals.
Yeah, he was the running back 3 while Dak was healthy.
So, obviously, this was not a chicken egg in reverse situation here. Zeke was climbing up to the point where I went and pursued him in our dynasty league
mm-hmm.
to try to make a run. Now, this is not a long-term dynasty pickup. It's a short-term dynasty pickup. But the belief is, hey, this is going to be a nice year for Ezekiel Elliott. So all signs point to that. It was nice seeing the receiving work in Hard Knocks. I won't lie. Aaron Jones at 6. I've got him at 5. So I do have Aaron Jones a spot ahead of Zeke. Jason and Mike have him at 6. Last year, 9 touchdowns on the ground. Had another 47 receptions, 355 and 2. Finished at RB5. Missed a couple games. Great player, great workload, great offense, great team, great quarterback. Great role in the offense.
Great disrespect. I mean, there's a great amount of disrespect because
nobody wants to give him a crown in the upper echelon of the running back fantasy rankings.
They really don't, and that's weird because he's literally been a top 5 fantasy running back the last 2 years in a row. He was the running back 2 years ago. He was running back 5 last year. Now you lose Jamal Williams. Like, A.J. Dillon, obviously, is going to get more involved, but A.J. Dillon was there last year in his rookie season. They subtracted Jamal Williams, who got a lot of the two-minute drills, got a lot of the passing work that A.J. Dillon does not project to get. I mean, Aaron Jones should really have a phenomenal season. You know that Aaron Rodgers is coming to, you know, he is a man on a mission to prove to Green Bay and the rest of the league, like, I'm the best. The offense is going to score a million
times.
I'm
going to win a championship and show you guys.
Yeah, and then demand to be traded in the offseason. I don't understand what there is to not love about Aaron Jones outside of the current missing practices right now, which I expect that'll be.
He's the RB9 in the community.
I would
underrated.
Give me the 8th draft pick then.
Okay. So 7 and 8 are Saquon Barkley and Nick Chubb. And I bring them up together because we've talked a lot on the show about Saquon. Activated from the PUP, tore the ACL in week 2, had to wait to have surgery. We didn't get to see him with Joe Judge in this offense. There are plenty of question marks about what Daniel Jones's future looks like in New York. And I think for some people, and I'm asking myself, am I this person? He's kind of off the board because of question marks. It's similar to the question or the situation Jason brought up with Ridley and Waller, where if you have doubt, why not take the player you know is going to play? I bring up Chubb in the same conversation because, you know, we have Saquon 7, Chubb 8, but if it was today, Mike, if you're sitting there
right
with the 7th pick in the draft and Chubb and Barkley are both on the board, are you looking for more ceiling from Barkley than Chubb, or are you just taking the sure thing because you know Chubb just got paid, you know what the offense is?
That the rankings of Nick Chubb versus Saquon Barkley has been one of the most difficult situations for me of trying to figure out where I truly stand, because I love Nick Chubb. I mean, all the arguments you can say about Derrick Henry, I mean, of you know, he's not a pass catcher. Nick Chubb is not the pass catcher. He has a prolific backup on the team that's going to take work, Kareem Hunt. But to me, Nick Chubb is an outlier. He's not Derrick Henry, but he is on the outlier scale far closer to Derrick Henry than I think that the general public believes. It is my belief in Nick Chubb. So,
Jason, what about you?
Weighing that in versus the pass catching upside of Saquon Barkley is very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, if I know it's not the exact question, but if I have to make the decision at this spot, it's Austin Eckler. But
okay, okay.
If I have to only, you know, there's only 2 guys left, and it's Chubb mm-hmm. and it's Barkley. I would go with Chubb because of the injury risk right now, not knowing whether or not Saquon's going to be there. But he's by no means off my board. I mean, you get to a tier of running backs where I would rather wait a couple weeks and knowing that I'm going to probably get a slow start for the potential upside of Saquon. But I don't think that the upside, this is where I caution people listening, and I talked about this on the early offseason bust show, which Saquon was my bust, that I don't think he is the rookie year Saquon, the Eli Manning Saquon of the past, that is a well over 100 target running back. I don't think that, you know, if he comes back and is on fire, I don't think he's a top three guy. I don't. Not in this offense. I think he's, you know, in that 4, 5, 6 range after the Kamaras and the Cooks and the Christian McCaffreys.
That's such good information to have, because everybody has been, it's been A or B. It's like, if healthy, he equals old Saquon.
Right. And I don't think that's true. We looked at that. If you go back to the, you know, I don't want to regurgitate all the information. There's a lot of stats on that show talking about what the truth of his second season really was, what the truth of him without Eli Manning was in healthy games, where he was good. I'm not saying he was bad, but he was not what he was with Eli Manning and in that rookie season from a fantasy perspective.
He's been a top two back in Dynasty ADP for 4 straight years. Is he a top two back for you?
Say this. In Dynasty, he is still super young. Is he top two? No, I don't think so. I would still have both. I would have Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook ahead of him.
Okay. So we talked about Chubb. He comes in at 8. Mike, you're the highest on Nick Chubb.
Mm-hmm.
You have him at his ADP, which is RB7, 7th pick in the draft. Just got the bag. I mean, having Kareem Hunt there is not a direct threat.
Correct.
To Nick Chubb in any way, shape, or form. What it is it's very convenient for the Browns, because they don't have to stretch Chubb out. They don't have to close games out with Nick Chubb. That is a frustrating thing if you want to see somebody make the leap into the top 3 or 4 at the position. And that seems very unlikely with Kareem Hunt there.
I think it is possible for Nick Chubb. I mean,
offensive line in football.
Yeah, the offensive line is great. The touchdown upside is tremendous. And you look at what he did last year. You know, the running back 9, we highlighted that, but 190 attempts, and he officially missed 4 games, but he really missed 5, because week 4 against Dallas, when he left the game, he had 6 attempts. He had played in 19% of the snaps, and he was already dominating. Like, he was 6 for 43 in that game. Nick Chubb is not just a grinder. He is an elite runner. He led the NFL in yards after contact. He is the highest rated elusive running back per Pro Football Focus by a wide margin. He is not just where, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the Kansas City Chiefs, he can get you chunks. Like, he can rip off a 15-yard run. He can rip off several of those. But Nick Chubb can give you that, and then he can house it at 80 yards on any given play. He has that strength and that speed to be that guy. So I believe that Nick Chubb is a great pick at his ADP, and in the range of outcomes to me is an outlier touchdown season where he comes in and he scores Derrick Henry levels of touchdowns, and he's a top 3 guy.
Austin Eckler at 9. Now, Mike, I know you're not really a big supporter of Austin Eckler, but we have him at 9. Jason has him at 7.
Darn right. Jason's awesome, excellent.
Jason's trying to steal my thunder.
Yesterday, Mike was just bemoaning the fact that somehow he's lower on Eckler than Jason is, but Jason had to go to outlandish above Saquon levels with Eckler to disturb Mike.
Which I love. I love that he has him ranked that high.
He does seem...
He's great.
I think the headline here for fantasy players is when you hear a name like this that's not normally in the top 10 necessarily, had the injuries last year, only played 10 games. It's validation, and it's also saying, like, the path is clear. Because for Eckler, what goes wrong for Austin Eckler in this offense? He has the role, and he's the pass catcher. Is he going to get less work in the running game than you expect?
No, I don't think he's going to get less running. I mean, I don't expect him to have 275 carries. That's what I love about Austin Eckler, is that When I look at statting
less production than you'd hope.
When I look at statting him out and where he ends so high, is that it comes in a way. It comes in the pass game. It's very Alvin Kamara-esque. He's not going to get this workload that I'm relying on.
He won't get the Kamara goal line level of carries, though.
Well, now here's the thing, though. I'm curious about that. So I have him not scoring a bunch of touchdowns because historically he has not scored a bunch of touchdowns. He's not been a goal line back, but he has literal no competition. I mean, the Joshua Kelly rookie experiment was a failure.
Justin Jackson's his current backup.
Yeah, and that's not going to be a goal line back. I think that the, so my point is this.
With what about him Larry more, Roundtree the third?
Right. With him having more
the
than
round
100,
round of touchdown.
More than 100 targets, pretty much guaranteed. He was on pace with Herbert for 120 targets last year. So 100 targets is pretty much a guarantee for me. If he has that level in the passing game with his capabilities, he's going to be a top 10 back. That's just unless he gets injured.
Back.
But can he be a top 5 back? Well, this is the point. It is not a 0% chance that he becomes a goal line back, that he becomes the inside the 5 back, because he's their best option for inside the 5 running back. I mean, he's the best guy to be on the field. Last year, he had 2 carries inside the 5. All season. So, yeah, he didn't score touchdowns, but it's a new offensive coordinator. He is the guy. He's going into the season as the guy. I think that his floor is just so high. He's game script proof. If you're in any kind of PPR or half PPR league, he's absolutely outstanding. And my point is, I believe his ceiling is higher than we think it is, because I with this offense that I think we all say is going to be good with Justin Herbert in year two, if he gets 10 touchdowns, I won't be shocked. That's not what I'm projecting him for. My number 7 ranking does not have him, you know, scoring 10 times on the ground. I've got him with 5 rushing touchdowns. I think he could hop up into that Alvin Kamara type of fantasy finish.
All right, let's close it out with number 10. Jonathan Taylor. Colts running back. Maybe some good news this morning if Carson Wentz can get back out there sooner.
Real quick, sorry.
And Quentin Nelson.
I don't know if we had mentioned it, but the best part of Austin Eckler is he's going in the second round, and he can be your RB2. So you can open your draft by our projections with 2 top 10 running backs.
Could you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen like an Aaron Jones.
If you're close to the turn.
Okay. Yeah, if you grab an Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler combo.
Yeah, it can happen.
I'd be happy with that.
Or Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, because Taylor is now going more in that 1-2 turn range. He is the RB6 by ADP. That has changed, though, with the injuries. I have him at 8, Mike at 11, Jason at 13. At one point in the offseason, early in the offseason, I had him at 4.
Does the news of a hopeful return for Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson make you want to bump him up maybe just a spot or two?
No, I'm comfortable with him at 8. Look, Nyheim Hines and J.D. McKissic, they fro-yo together. Those guys hang out. They exist to give you eye rolls when you draft the number one in the room.
They share the frozen yogurt, and then they cackle like, see how many touches I stole? Antonio gets it.
It's just hard to look at Nyheim Hines.
Why are they goblins?
Oh, they're goblins because they're gobbling up all his targets.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. Both players, here's what I know. Like, that's exactly what he says every time. He runs out on the field on third down when he passes Jonathan Taylor.
As he's high-fiving him?
Yes.
The switch is like, get in there. But
also, my voice could not do a goblin right now. But the more I looked at this, the more I think about it, the more I, you know, go back and listen to Frank Reich and the way he talks about Nyheim Hines. Like, Nyheim Hines is going to exist to stop the pass-catching prowess of Jonathan Taylor reaching maturity. That's the real truth. This is the same offense. This is the same head coach. This is a running back with 60-plus receptions. And I think that's the gap. That's the gap from 4 to 8 to me, is Jonathan Taylor has to reach a level that's higher than 30, 40 targets. And I just don't have enough confidence to project that.
Yeah, it is tough. Last season,
and you guys are lower than me.
With
so.
Check down Phillip Rivers, he still only had 41 targets. Now, he was incredible with 36 receptions on those 41 and, mm-hmm. and did great work, and I think they should utilize him more. Going into his sophomore year, I mean, I think it would be a mistake to not take this player who really broke out for your team the second half of the year and say, let's not get him more involved in the passing game. I think they will try to. The problem is he's not going to be a 50 reception player. He's not going to be getting Dalvin Cook levels. And while his talent and athleticism is off the charts, and I love him, I've really yo-yoed with him in my rankings, especially through this Quentin Nelson, Carson Wentz news. He is a guy that I want on my teams because I love watching him play. I love watching him get up to 22 miles an hour on a breakaway right. touchdown run. Fastest player clocked in the league last year. He has huge potential, and I don't fault anyone for taking their shot on him. But the odds are that he is not involved enough in the passing game to be one of those top five running backs. If that changes,
there's also
hallelujah.
Going to be there's going to be some games that you just kind of get frustrated. I mean, last year they worked in who was it? Why my his name's escaping me. After Matt got hurt,
oh goodness.
Maybe Jordan Wilkins.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brooks.
You know, they worked him into the offense. Mac is back this year on a 1 year deal.
Yeah, we'll see how he
does. There's going to be some eye rolling that takes place between Hines would come in
get some
at the
line.
8 yard line yeah. and you'd be like, you know, what is going on here?
Excuse me,
and
did you know that Jonathan Taylor's 220 pounds? Please put him in.
Well, it's the same thing where Mike's saying, did you know that Antonio Gibson was a really good pass catcher?
Yes.
I mean, he was a wide receiver, and then all of a sudden McKissick is number two in the league in receptions.
And to be objectively fair in the argument that is often made against David Montgomery, where Montgomery's second half, when he broke out and he won people leagues, it was against atrocious rushing defenses. And let's look at what Jonathan Taylor did the first half of the year. Yeah, he was good. Like he was you were happy
reliable.
You picked him, and you were happy that he was in your fantasy lineup. But when Jonathan Taylor turned into the league-winning running back those final 5 weeks, that was against Houston, Las Vegas, Houston, Jacksonville. He did beat up on Pittsburgh, who was a solid defense, but four out of those five games were against absolute bottom-dwelling rushing defenses last year.
No question.
So that just – I'm still in on Jonathan Taylor, old Johnny T here, but I want to at least try and be objectively fair to that argument for Montgomery.
Out of these top 10 running backs, and tomorrow's show we'll get into the running back rankings 11 through 20 to 25, somewhere around there. Who are you most afraid of busting in
Saquon
the top 10?
Saquon Barkley.
Derrick Henry.
I think it's Saquon for me.
Derrick Henry would be my other one.
Next year,
Saquon Barkley would be my other one.
Next year,
looks
who
like
are
we're
we,
aligned?
Who are we talking about next year as a top tier RB?
Najee Harris.
I mean, Jonathan Taylor. If he, you know, I think that's the guy who could be in that 1-2 if we're wrong and he gets more involved in the passing game, or if he just straight up dominates people's faces, which is, I think he's capable of.
All right. Well, tomorrow we'll get to talk about a number of other interesting names, Joe Mixon included, somebody that I hope can enter that upper echelon. We'll see what happens. I'm sure there'll be more disparity in our rankings tomorrow as well. Anything else for us, Brooks?
No, sir.
Any really expensive purchases recently?
That's private.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the yacht is private. He doesn't let people on the yacht.
We got a HIPAA violation.
All right. That'll do it for today's episode. For Naeem Hines, J.D. McKissick, Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Al Borland, Judge Giamatti, and myself, Andy Holloway. Farewell. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you then. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.